Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
We just proclaimed something in the worship time. It is finished. That's it. It's done. We live from a place of it is finished. Job done, signed and sealed. So I just want you to turn to five people around you and just look them in the eye and say, it is finished. You put a bit in there. Yeah. Can you just you just turn it up anyway in, out there? Brilliant. Just grab a seat. I've been looking forward to this morning for the last few days, and we're reading through John's Gospel at the moment, and today, as we've been reading through, that phrase, it is finished, Jesus spoke in the context of what we've been reading. And if we have a revelation of what that really means, how we think, how we speak, how we act, how we believe will be transformed, because we're not living from a place of trying to get something or somewhere. We're living from a place of God has done. Therefore, I have. This is who I am. And I can then go forward confidently in who God has made me. Now, this message is going to mainly be just reading the Bible. Is that okay? There might be a few comments here and there, but most of it is just going to be reading the Word. Is that all right with you guys? We're Word people, and we want the Word to do the work this morning in our lives. Now, at the moment, there's about 50 of us going through something called life, living in freedom every day. And it's a 12-week curriculum that is done in a small group context. You work through the stuff on your own, then you meet together in a small group, and then you're kind of sharing what God is doing in your life. And the whole thing prepares you over that 12 weeks for what is called a freedom encounter. And that freedom encounter for those 50 or so people is going to be towards the end of May. And then in the autumn, we're going to open up this life stuff to everybody across all the congregations. Most of the people going through at the moment are all the staff team and certain people in leadership. And some of it is getting people ready to lead some of those small groups and be part of the retreat team, this encounter team. But we want to open it up to the whole church from the autumn. And for many of us, we've known Jesus for a long time. And I've known the Lord for many years, and you know, but when you go through something that's got anointing on it, God speaks to you. There's revelation in it. He opens your eyes to things in a new way in the Word about Himself. And you find yourself God peeling layers off your life and going deeper with Him and therefore deeper with other people. And I'm really looking forward to not just what happens in May with those 50 people, but what's going to happen as we open it up to the whole church in the autumn. Just to remind everybody, we have a discipleship pathway. There's four parts to it. The first one is we want people to know God, okay? Whether that's people coming to know God for the first time, giving their lives to Him, we want people to know God. Then we want people to find freedom, discover their freedom, know their freedom. Because it's one thing giving your life to Christ, but then you want to live in the freedom of what He has done when you give your life to Him. So to find freedom. The next part of our discipleship pathway is to discover purpose. To know what your purpose is. Why am I here? Why am I alive? What does He want to do in and through my life? And then when you know your purpose, you can then make a difference. The fourth part, you can be fruitful, make a difference. And so life, living in freedom every day, sits in that second part of the pathway, which is to find freedom or to live in freedom. And so We want to make sure that a discipleship pathway for everybody in the life of the church who is part of the church currently, everybody who will be getting saved over the next few months and years, and anybody else moving into the area who join the church, we want to make sure we have a pathway for people to grow in, to make sure this part, step two anyway, is to live in freedom, to know the truth, and to live in freedom, to make sure that everything from their past is gone, dealt with, buried, sorted, because of Jesus saying, it is finished. So now I'm just going to read a little thing that it says in one of the chapters that we've been doing, and then we'll kind of get into the rest of this message. Imagine a friend offers you a special gift that would guarantee you direction, prosperity, and success. He says this thing will give you the ability to rise above any circumstances and stand against any enemy, and that it will keep you from sin, destruction, and despair. Would anybody like that gift? It sounds pretty good, yeah? Well, this is the gift. It's here in black and white. This one has a bit of leather on the outside of it. But what we've just read is this book in my hands here. And these guarantees, it says, they're not just guarantees, they're actually promises from a person. Because the promises are a person. They are the gift for those who read the word, but it's not just reading. Those that live in the good of that are those that are who apply what is in this thing. So what we apply from the word, we live in the good of. It's not how much we know as knowledge, because it's easy to know something about something, but not necessarily act upon it or live in the good of it. Let me put it this way. I know that Arsenal are still the best team in the world in terms of playing football. Take some faith statements, okay? I believe that from the depth of my being. But I also know from a knowledge point of view that Chelsea will win the Premiership this season. I know they're the best team at this moment in terms of knowledge, but I don't believe that they're the best team because I believe Arsenal are, right? Any Chelsea fans here, just enjoy that moment from me because you'll never hear me say something like that about Chelsea again. We have a relationship with a person, okay? And this person is encompassed in the pages of this book. But the person comes alive when we work with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to speak and bring the truth that is in these pages alive in our lives. And when the Holy Spirit brings the words in these pages, the truth of these alive, and we apply them in our lives, we then see the good of what is written in the Word happening in us, happening around us, and happening through our lives. So the book that we believe in, the person that is the book that we believe in, okay, is not just a life jacket for emergencies. There are those moments where stuff happens and we need something from God. And sometimes it is a bit like a life jacket for an emergency. But God doesn't want us to live our Christian life, our relationship with Him from an emergency point of view, where we just need to pluck something from Him when we have a life jacket moment in our lives. God wants us to be building our lives with who He is, as the Holy Spirit reveals who He is through the Word, okay? So let's have a look. We've got loads of scriptures to read through and they're going to come up on the screen. John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. So we're discovering here that He is the Word, okay? Jesus has always been, He is, and He always will be. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So as we've said already, these guarantees, these promises, they're a person. They are Jesus, the living word. So we have words on a page here that tell us about who God is, about who we are. But in order for that to come alive, we need the Holy Spirit to bring life from the word so that the living word of who Jesus is alive in us, more than just knowledge, but in an experiential relationship that is being worked out in real ways every day of our lives. So the two are the same, okay? Jesus and the word are one because he is the word. John 6:63. Let's have a look there. The spirit gives life. The flesh or our efforts count for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, this is Jesus speaking. The words I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the words that God speaks are spirit. The word for spirit there is pneuma, okay? And the word pneuma there means the presence or the breath of God. So the Holy Spirit and the Word work together. So when God speaks to us, it's like he speaks his breath into us. Because his Word is like breath. It's like his presence by the Holy Spirit. So when you're reading the Word, it's not just what can I think about or what does this really mean. But the Holy Spirit wants to breathe into you as you are reading the Word, or as we're going to look at this morning, meditating on the Word. As you're reading it and meditating, the Holy Spirit wants to breathe into you life. He wants to breathe life into you. When God created Adam, what did he do? There was a holy kiss at that moment where he breathed his life into him. In Song of Songs, it talks about, right in the first few verses of the first chapter, it talks about a holy kiss where God kisses and there's an intimacy, but with that kiss, there's strength. There's an arming for battle. There's an arming for victory. The word kiss with God means not just an intimate moment, but it means to arm with strength. So when we read the word, the Holy Spirit wants to come and breathe into you. And he wants, it's like a moment of intimacy where it's not just how much can I read? How many verses? How many chapters have I done the reading for the day? No, it's how can I encounter Jesus in the word today? Holy Spirit, what do you want to do to reveal Jesus so that the living word comes alive in me more than it has already, so that I'm sitting there going, wow, Jesus, you are awesome. You are amazing. I love you. You are faithful. You are true. There's nothing else in life that is more important than you and your word and what you want to speak into my life and what that then means as to how I live today. So when you're reading the word or meditating on the word, the Holy Spirit wants to come with a holy kiss and he wants to breathe life. Breathe life. Anybody here this morning?
Yeah.
All right. So the word pneuma, presence or breath of God, words of life and power. Okay. Isaiah 55, this chapter, all of it is amazing. It starts off, we're not going to read from the beginning, we're going to read verses 10 and 11, but it starts off, you know, come all who are thirsty and drink. Come all who are thirsty and drink. You can come and buy this drink, it's free. Let's have a look at verses 10 and 11. We've just seen that the word gives life, the spirit gives life, the word and the spirit are one, they give life. But the word is always effective. So when that word of life comes, I'm just kind of trying to get to where we need to get to this morning by just reading certain scriptures first. So let's have a look at the word now. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. So we've already seen that Jesus is the word. He's the living word. He is alive. The spirit gives life to our lives, okay? And his words are spirit and life. And therefore, he then says that when my word goes forth from my mouth, it will not return empty or void, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So when we're there with the word and we're just meditating, we're spending a bit of time with the Lord, there might be one verse that you're going over and you're just reading it, meditating on it, muttering or chewing over that word, wanting to get everything out of that word, all the flavor, all the ingredients that are in the word there, all the vitamins, you know, of the word that are in there, and you're chewing that over at that moment. The Holy Spirit wants to bring that word alive to you because God wants to accomplish something and achieve something of his purpose in you at that moment and then through your life as a result. Yeah. And so the word here says it won't return empty. It will always accomplish. Why? Because the word is living and active. It's always effective. It's always going to produce life because the word is life. Yeah. Just stay with me. Okay, Luke 1:35. Let's have a look at a story where we see the reality of God's word being spoken and it then accomplished everything that he wanted it to do. It's the story where Gabriel visits Mary and tells her that she is going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit and that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. Quite a moment. That's quite a moment, isn't it? You're just going about your daily business and doing this, that, and the other. Suddenly an angel appears and says to you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Notice it doesn't say for God, but it says nothing is impossible with God. Because we all know that nothing is impossible for God. He can do anything he wants at any moment. But the word there says nothing is impossible with God. Because God wants to do impossible things with us, in us, through us. Okay? So we have this story here where she is going about her everyday business. The Holy Spirit appears and then he speaks something. He speaks the word of God into her life at that moment. Her response was, let it be to me as you have said. Let it be to me as you have said. That's quite a thing to say. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to give birth to the Son of God. Wow. Her response was, let it be as you have said. I don't think any of us have ever had or will ever have an angel or the Holy Spirit speaking directly to us something of that magnitude. And God walks into her life and says something that is going to change the destiny of mankind. And her response was, I don't necessarily understand this. Because she did say, well, how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. She wasn't saying, I don't believe you. What she was saying was, well, okay, that's how can that be as I'm a virgin then if I'm going to, you know, give birth to, and then he said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and this, that, and the other, or whatever. But her response was, let it be as you have said. Let it be as you have said. The word nothing there, in the Greek, is two words, okay? You can obviously split that word into two, can't you? No thing, okay? The word in the Greek there, what it means is no rhema, okay? It means no rhema. Now, rhema is a Greek word for the or for word or for the revealed word, okay? So the rhema of God or the word of God or the revealed word of God is like the revealing of the Logos, okay, of God's word. So the Logos is God's word, okay, which is unchangeable, timeless, and everything. So God's word. But then what the rhema is where God highlights or brings alive in that moment something of the Logos in that moment that steps out at that as revelation or the revealed word in that moment, okay? And so when it says here, nothing is impossible with God, the word nothing there means no rhema. It means no word, no revelation, no life, no power. So when you read that into that verse there, it says, for no revelation or no life or no power or for nothing to happen is impossible with God. So God doesn't do nothing. In that sense, it's not part of who he is. God is not a nothing God. God is always a something God. God is always going to do something. So when we understand that for nothing or for no word or for no revelation is impossible with God, that means in our life, when we are meditating on the word, when we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, he's going to speak life because the Spirit gives life into our lives, okay? And when he speaks life into our lives, then that void, that vacuum, that nothing at that moment, that no faith moment that we don't have, or what we need at any given moment, God speaks life into that. And what was impossible now becomes possible with God because faith rises up on the inside of us because God has spoken life. And when he speaks life, it's always going to accomplish what it was sent to do. Amen. So nothing is absence. God doesn't do absence. When nothing happens, what does God do? He speaks into the nothing so that life gets released. He speaks where something isn't taking place. And he's like, I need to speak my word into that so that life comes into where nothing is going on. So it's okay to have emergency moments, life jacket moments in our life. It's okay to have those moments where it's like, God, I need something for you at this moment. I need a word. I need something. But God doesn't want us to live in a need-based relationship with him. He wants us to live in a walk relationship with him where we are living by the Logos word because we want to be people of the word. But in that Logos relationship, being a word person, we want the rhema of God today in our lives so that we live in the life and the power of who he is today and what God is saying to us. So that when we get up in the morning and spend time wanting to kiss the Father and he wants to kiss us, he wants to breathe into our lives, his life and his word. He wants to be alive in a fresh way every day in our lives. Then when we step into the day and into our lives, we're stepping into him being life. Duh. Are you with me? So that when stuff comes our way, where trouble or anxiety or bad report, negativity, opposition, whatever it comes, lies from the enemy, we're already in a place where we're fueled to deal with those things. So instead of reactions and upset and offense and unforgiveness and all of that that we might have, instead we greet it with mercy. We greet it with forgiveness. We greet it with joy. We greet stuff with thanksgiving. We respond in a way that says, right, I'm not going to react here. I'm going to respond. I'm just going to take a moment and say, okay, right, and let's. Because God doesn't want us to live out of a nothing relationship where he has to constantly bail us out in life jacket emergency moments. He wants us to build our lives on the rock of who he is. So Mary's response was, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. So her response was crucial. Okay, she believed. So faith or believing comes from hearing. So she could only believe because of what the angel said. But at that moment, she had a choice to believe what the angel said. So there's an element where faith is a choice. Do I believe what God is saying now? Or do I believe my feelings or the circumstances or the report? Do I believe what God is saying? So faith comes from hearing. And the hearing there is revelation. It's not just hearing the word, it's the revelation that comes from the word. That rhema moment where the word is lit up at that moment comes alive, and then that faith enables action. Because it's what we apply What we apply is what we believe, isn't it? Because we can know stuff, but it's what we apply that is what we believe. So action then leads to obedience. And obedience releases joy, the obedience of faith. The word obedience is not necessarily a kind of word to, oh, that sounds joyful, be obedient. But actually, you know, when you've heard something from God, it does release joy. And when you've heard something from God, it releases faith or a boldness or a confidence to move towards what God has said. And so as you believe and as you act, that is obedience. You don't even have to think, I need to obey now. Actually, if you believe what God says and you act upon it, God looks at that and says, wow, that's obedience. That is brilliant. So by believing the word and acting upon it, we are walking in obedience. When we walk in obedience, there's a release of joy in our lives because the obedience of faith releases joy. And so then you find that being obedient is a joyful thing because you're not trying to be obedient. You're just believing what God says and acting upon it. When you act upon what God says, you become obedient. Therefore, it leads to joy. It's all one thing. I don't know what on earth I'm talking about, but hopefully it sounds all right. So how do you live in the power and the life and the power of the word every day then? Okay. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. So blessed is the man who doesn't walk in those things. But his delight, his joy, his desire is in the word or in God's word or the law or the ways of the Lord. And on his ways, on his word, on him, he meditates day and night. Okay. The word meditate there means to chew over, means to chew, to get a hold of. And I don't know how often you do that. You know, these daily readings we're doing quite often. I don't read the whole chapter necessarily. I might get a few verses in or a certain moment where the Holy Spirit just goes, boom, that's your verse or that's your three verses or whatever. And you end up mulling over it, going over it. And it's like, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you? And then you start jotting a few things down, or he speaks to you, shows you something about himself or something about you in relation to him or you in relation to others or whatever it is. Or he's talking about a circumstance and he's reminding you about who he is so that you can actually trust him or whatever the situation is. But I find myself reading it. I don't just want to read the chapter and say, I've done it. I want to read it and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want to show me in this moment? And you begin to chew over it. You begin to kind of taste, what does this word taste like? What does this word that I'm chewing on spiritually want to do in my spirit now to feed my spirit so that my spirit becomes stronger as a result, more healthy and more nourished as a result, because I'm chewing, I'm meditating on the word. I'm not just reading the word at that level and assenting with it. And at the end, I think, well, what have I just read? What was in that chapter? Actually, what I want to do is chew on it so that something begins to be digested on the inside of me that strengthens, brings health, brings life, okay? And then from that place, you begin to, because there's revelation going on and God is speaking, you begin to then, something rises up on the inside of you, and then you begin to speak and you begin to pray in relation to what that word is. You begin to pray over your life according to that rhema, that moment, that revealed word over your life at that moment. And you're releasing life where before there wasn't that same life being released. Am I the only one that's into this today, or is anybody else here? Okay, maybe not into it, but I am anyway, so we'll keep going. And so it says, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like, this. I love this, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Wow. How does that work? God speaks to you what you need to hear in any given season in your life so that in that season you will be fruitful. God doesn't speak to you something now. And I know God speaks sometimes here and we're going to be fruitful down there. But God wants us to be fruitful today in our lives. So God speaks so that we live in this season being fruitful. So he's planted like streams of water which yield its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. How does that work? If we're meditating on the word, if we're chewing over the word, if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak, the leaves of your life don't wither. Because the trunk, your relationship with Jesus, and the branches of your life have got the sap of his life, of the Holy Spirit, with the word working through. Therefore, the leaves aren't kind of limp and shriveling and drying out and falling off, because life is going to those things, okay? And it's not just leaves that are produced, there's actually fruit that actually comes. Look at this last bit. Whatever he does, prospers. Whatever he does, prospers. Some people say, how do you live a prosperous life? What does it mean to prosper? Well, biblically, it means to prosper mentally, emotionally, in your soul. God wants us to prosper in every way, spiritually, in health, in relationships. How do we prosper? It says here, we take delight, desire, take joy in the living word. Being breathed into our life afresh every day by the Holy Spirit. Just breathing, kissing, imparting life into us. Let's have a look what happened with Joshua in relation to this then. When God spoke to him, Joshua 1, 6 to 8. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. So this is a context where Moses has died. Joshua is now leading the people of Israel, and he's going to take them into the promised land, okay? And God's reminding him, be strong and courageous, because you're going to lead these people to inherit the land, to come into all the fullness of the promises that I've given. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law, or the word, or the ways my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law, do not let the word of God depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, it says, you'll be prosperous and successful. Seems to be a bit of a kind of flow of something here this morning, in terms of what God is saying to us. We're probably awake roughly every day 16, 17, 18 hours. Depends, you know. But let's give everybody the benefit of the doubt that you get 7 or 8 hours sleep a night, or 6 to 8, whatever. So you're alive, you're alive the whole time. But you're awake for about 16, 17 hours a day. Now, imagine if one of those hours was spent feeding on the word, meditating on the word and all of that, and the rest was focused on being at work, all the stuff you've got to do, some of the challenges or some issues or problems that you might be facing, and various other things, watching TV, surfing the internet, reading all the rubbish that's on social media, or most of it, checking into Facebook or whatever it's called these days, and half of it is just moaning and grumbling about everything else going on, you know, and we're filling ourselves with a whole lot of stuff. But yet the Bible, the word says here, meditate on his word day and night. Meditate, mull over the word. Now what God wants to do, he wants to bring those two worlds together so they're one. He doesn't want us to have a sacred world, a little kind of time with Jesus, and then our secular world over here where we do everything else. Hopefully God's with me somewhere. In God's mind, there is no sacred and secular. There's just one life that we have with him, and we find ourselves in different places, different moments, different settings, where we are seeking to live out who we are in Christ, who we are as a believer in those settings. So when you go to work, you don't suddenly become a mechanic or a secretary or, you know, whatever. You are still the same person. You're a believer, but you might have certain roles and functions and responsibilities. But we're still there to live the same life as we do at home or wherever else we are. And so the thing to Joshua there was meditate on it day and night. See, what you hear, you only remember 10%. You're only going to remember 10% of what you hear this morning. So actually, next week, what we could do is preach exactly the same message to you guys next week. Some of you will sit there and say, isn't that what he preached last week? I remember some of that. And there'll be things that I'll say, and you'll say, I don't remember you saying that last week. Because you only remember 10% of what you hear, okay? And some of you will be sitting there going, well, you know, especially in week four, when it's the fourth week in a row that we preach exactly the same message, you'll be going, hang on, we've had this for 4 weeks in a row. Who do I complain to? Who should I go on Facebook and have a moan about? In my church, well, they preach the same message four times. Maybe we need to hear exactly the same message, maybe 10 weeks in a row, until we're actually living more fully what we've heard. It's very easy to be in church and treat it like a menu in a restaurant and say, well, we had a bit of this last week. Hope we'll have something different this week. And I hope it's a bit more this, that, or whatever. And it's very easy to hear stuff, walk away and say, well, I feel better now I've been to church, but we don't necessarily do anything with it. You see, Sunday morning is a place of encouragement to you, but it's not the place where you grow your relationship with God. The place where you grow your relationship with God is on your own. What this does, hopefully, is chuck a lot of fuel on the fire of your relationship with Him to help encourage you, inspire you, and put some nuggets, hopefully, in your hands that you can work with. But you're responsible, I'm responsible for our own relationships with Him. And so to meditate on His Word, to mull over, to spend time with Him and Him to speak life. Those intimate moments where He wants to speak, He wants to kiss, He wants to breathe His Word, breathe His life on the inside of you, okay? What does that do? It releases faith into our lives. So everybody jump to your feet for a moment, okay? We've got a few scriptures. We're going to personalize them all, and we're going to just speak some things. We're not going to do it fast, okay? We're going to do this a bit slower than just, you know, because I don't want us just to repeat loads of scriptures just in a few moments. But I want us to really grab one or two things in these things. So Psalm 103, verses 2-5, okay? We're going to read those out. We're going to declare those things together in our lives, okay? Now, when we read the Word, when we speak the Word, we're not trying to convince God as to what His Word says. He knows what His Word says. When we speak the Word, what are we doing? We're speaking life over our own lives. We're speaking over our own bodies or whatever it is. So faith is released and life is released in us. God doesn't need to be convinced or reminded of what His Word says. He knows what it is. This is for our benefit, okay? So let's have a look. Psalm 103, verses 2-5. Let's go. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all of my sins and heals all of my diseases. Who redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. Who satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Thank you, Jesus. Just say, my soul is full of life. Because I have the one who is life on the inside of me. Just say, my sins are forgiven. My diseases are healed. I am crowned with love and compassion. And my youth is being renewed like the eagles. Okay, next one, Psalm 27. It says, ready? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Stop there. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He is my light. I am not, and I don't have to try and do it. He is my light and my salvation. Therefore, what does it say? Whom shall I fear? Wow. You don't have to fear death. Why? Because He is your salvation. The sting of death has gone. It's gone. You don't have to fear dying because you already have the eternal one on the inside of you. You already have eternal life on the inside of you. You know, if that root of fear to do with, because the root of fear is death. It might be, you know, pain or hurt or whatever, but where does it lead to? Death. And if the thing of death is gone, then there's no other fear that can grip your life. Because you realize He is my light and salvation. What does it say then? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, imagine if Jesus was physically in the room this morning. Okay? If He was physically here right now, Would you have more expectation of things happening for in the next few minutes in the meeting? Let's be honest. If Jesus was physically up here right now and he walked in the room and he stood here and we all were like, boom, we would probably be like, you know, or maybe we would just hit the floor and, I don't know, worship. I don't know what we'd do. Would you expect more to happen if he was physically here? He is here, though. He is here as much now by his spirit through his word as he is as if he was physically standing on the platform. So there's a gap between, well, if Jesus was here, of course he would do more because he would be here. But he is here. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. And so the gap is what we believe. The gap is what we believe. Because if we believe Jesus, we believe his word. If we believe Jesus, we believe the Holy Spirit can do the same things and greater things still. Wow. So I don't know about you. As I've been going through this over these last few days, I've been saying, Father, I need your faith. I need your faith. What's your faith? Is his word. And all the Lord said to me is, well, Clive, just feed on my word then. Because that's life to you. That's my word. This is my faith in your life. It's all there on these pages. And if you listen to me, I'll release my faith, my life, my power into you for everything that you need. Love that. Romans 8:37. In all things, in all these things, I am. Okay, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Notice what it says, who loved. Okay, it's not just love's nice lovey-dovey relationship. It's in all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Why? Because it is finished. Because everything is finished. He demonstrated his love for us 2,000 years ago because there's nothing else to do for us. He has done it all. What he wants us to do is live in the now of all that he has done. And we live in the now of all he has done by saying, Father, I thank you for who you are. Thank you for who I am. And I thank you that today, as I live out the Logos word of who you are, that you speak the Rhema to reveal more of who you are today so that I live in the it is finished of who you are and what you've done in my life. So I don't live as a victim. I don't live underneath, but I live as a victor and as an overcomer in my life. What does Philippians 4:19 say? And my God will meet all my needs. Everybody shout, all. And my God will meet all my needs, everything, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. If you have Christ Jesus on the inside of you, he has already met every need you will ever have. And in one sense, if we understand, if that becomes revelation in our lives, that he has already met every need in our lives, okay, and he will meet them in the future, we don't have to look at our life from a need-based point of view. That's right. Because actually need says that there's something lacking, there's something missing. Yeah. Whereas when we understand that he is everything I need, he has accomplished everything on the cross, he has made the way for me to be forgiven at any moment that I need to be forgiven. He has made it possible that any given moment when I need healing, I can receive that healing. But actually, if we have that revelation of who he is and what he's done, then it means we don't live from a need point of view. We walk knowing he has made provision here. He's made provision there. So I don't live from a need-based point of view. I live from a fully supplied place, knowing that he has already met every need according to his glorious riches in Christ. So the word enables me to thrive and not survive. The word enables me to live on a rock, because my life is anchored to who he is, not a life jacket, emergency-based Christianity. Amen. Just turn to the person next to you. God wants you to thrive, not survive. Now say it with conviction. God wants you to thrive, not survive. Okay, grab a seat. We want to meditate on the word, okay? So that even just one verse will come alive, so that we live in the life and the reality of that word rather than just reading many verses and nothing comes alive. We want to feed on what is life, okay? Let's have a look at Proverbs 3, 1 to 10. We're just going to read these things, okay? Let's have a look what it says, the benefits of wisdom. There's so much in the word that says if you just meditate on the word, if you just feed on the word, this is what happens as a result, okay? He says, my son, do not forget. There's loads of things, commands here, good things that he tells us to do. Do not forget my teaching, or do not forget the word, but keep my commands in your heart. How do you keep commands in your heart? Meditate on them. Meditate, meditate, meditate. When you meditate on the word, you begin to memorize the word. So when you hear something, you only remember 10%. When you hear and see something, you remember 20, 25%. When you hear, see, and take part in something, the max you remember, I think, is about 45, 50%. But when you memorize something, how much do you remember? All of it. I'll just let you know the answer. All of it. And so what's he saying? Keep my commands. Meditate on my commands, okay? Let them become part of your memory. Not just there, but the memory, your spirit, who you are. Let the word become part of your membrane, your fiber of your being in your life, okay? Keep my commands in your heart, okay? For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Man, these are brilliant promises. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. What does that mean? Bind them around your neck, okay? Well, if you bind something around your neck, there's two options. One, it's going to strangle you, okay? Or two, it's going to protect you. And so when you bind the word around your neck, around your life, it protects your life from everything of the enemy where he wants to choke you and pull the life out of you, okay? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Bind love and faithfulness around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. How do you write something on the tablet of your heart? Let God mark you. How do you let God mark you? By spending time saying, I want to meditate on you. I want to mull over you. I want to chew on you. I want you to become not just your word, but I want you to become much more part of the fiber of my being, that every part of me is alive with who you are, because I'm eating of you. I'm drinking of you. Then it says you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Well, how do you get favor? Do the first couple of verses. It's not, God, give me favor for this, give me favor for that. It's, God, I'm going to go in the secret place. I want to spend time with you, Father, meditating on your word. I want you to speak your life into me. Then favor begins to go before you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. How do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? You begin to meditate on the word. He reveals who he is through the word. As he reveals who he is, he comes alive to you in a new way. What does relationship do? And it builds trust. And as trust, it says here, grows. You trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and then you stop leaning on your own understanding, because there's revelation from God coming that is beyond our understanding. And because revelation releases faith, we don't say, well, two and two, the circumstances equal that, but because God's spoken, all things are possible. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I don't know what you guys do, but every day I speak health over my life and my family. My wife and my family. I thank the Lord every day for a healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotions, a healthy soul, submitted to the hope, to the spirit and all of that. But I speak life over my family, long life and well-being. Why? Because I want to speak life over my home and household. This will bring health to your whole body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over. There's so many things where God says, just put me first. Put me first, everything else will just flow. Protection, health, wealth, prosperity, relationships, everything else. Put me first and everything else flows. Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Notice it's not about knowledge there. It's about relationship here. It's about relationship today. It's not about how much do I know and how much can I remember. It's how much is being written on the heart, on the inside of my life, okay? Then it says, impress, or in other words, teach them to your children. We'll modernize this a little bit. Talk about them when you sit at home, okay? In the lounge, in the dining room, in the bedroom, wherever you are. Talk about them in the home. When you walk along the road, or when you're driving, when you're walking, when you're riding, if you're into motorbikes, that was for you. If you're riding, or whatever you're doing, if you're flying, talk about these things. When you lie down and when you get up. What's he saying? The first thing in the morning, last thing at night. What's he saying? What's the word saying? Engulf your life with the word, with who he is. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's why the Jews have these little boxes. Have you ever seen? They got little boxes wrapped around their arms and wrists, or a little box on their forehead. Because the word says, tie them as symbols, verse 8, on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. You know, the most important thoughts in your life at this moment are right at the front of your brain. The most powerful, effective, influencing thoughts in your brain are they're right at the front of your brain. That's where they operate, okay? And the word says here, tie them as thing on your forehead. Because God knows that in the brain, the most powerful, influential part of your brain that determines how you think and how you feel and everything comes from the front bit. And the word says, get the word right central, right as the most important part of your thinking, your understanding, because that will determine everything else. And so that's why the word says, submit, bring every thought, take it captive and bring it under the lordship of who Christ is, because he knows the battle that goes on up there. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's again why Jewish people put scriptures in these little boxes on their door frames and on the gates. The gates are the entrance point into your world and the exit point into your world. So we want to make sure that we're framing our lives. The entrance point, the exit points are framed with the word of God, because there's so much other stuff that wants to take us out, wants to do us in. And we want to make sure the gates of our lives and our homes are kind of reinforced. I'm looking for another word, military word, can't think of it. But anyway, are reinforced with the word so that nothing can come in that shouldn't be there. I'll say amen because nobody else did. Brilliant. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. What else does it say? Basically, tie them around your hands. What does that mean? Have them with you all the time. Amazing thing, I haven't got it. Phone. Your phone. I don't know if you've got a Bible on your phone, but you got the Bible there on your phone. But what's he saying? He said, have it written in here. So you got something to draw from. Some of you probably put stuff on the fridge or other, I don't know, you know, scriptures or this or that or the other around your house. Jane's learning Hebrew and we've got pink post-it notes all around the house. You know, like on a door, on a frame, on a table, on a mirror, and they're just words, Hebrew words, so that we're all learning Hebrew in our house, you know. So, not biblical Hebrew, but to be able to speak. But maybe that sort of stuff, you put it around to remind you. Just close your eyes a minute. Just think about this for a moment. I lack nothing. I do not lack anything. Just say that right now. Just meditate on that for a moment. I do not lack anything. Because Jesus declared, it is finished. Just keep repeating for a few moments. I do not lack anything because Jesus said it is finished. So I don't start my life every day from a place of trying. I start from a place of completion. It is done. It is finished. It has been accomplished. I don't lack anything because Jesus has made provision in my life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, in every way. I lack nothing. The word nothing, no thing. The only lack in our lives is nothing. No thing. Because he's made provision. When you need wisdom, he is your wisdom. We want to walk in wisdom, not just ask him for it when we need it. But the Bible does say, if you need wisdom, ask and he'll gladly give it. But we want to live in wisdom, walk in wisdom. We want to walk in his ways, walk in his will. I just want to encourage you as we're going through the word. I know, well, can we read some other scriptures? Didn't we read some of these last year? But there's things God wants to say to you every day that wasn't what he said to you last year. He wants to say something to you this year, this month, this week, today. The word is fuel to your spirit. The word is food and drink to your spirit and to our spirits. Builds us, strengthens us, reveals who he is. Enables us to overcome. Enables us to walk through challenges, to walk through negativity, to walk through. God doesn't lift us out of circumstances of life. He enables us to go through them to have victory. Because as we go through them and hold on to him, that deepens your relationship with him. It deepens your walk with him. Just want to say one thing before we close. Amazing word I heard a couple of weeks ago in Croatia when I was with Pastor Colin. We were over there at a leaders event with Bengt Wiedemann. There was a guy from Spain who preached this message. He was preaching it about, you know, when the farmer went out and he sowed the wheat, the seeds were wheat, and then an enemy came at night and put weeds in. And the servant said, should we go out and take all the weeds out of the field? And the owner said, no, just leave them there. And they were. It's like, why leave the weeds there? Well, apparently, what happens when you've got good stuff growing, sometimes people sow weeds because what the weeds do is they cause the good stuff, the wheat in this story, to go deeper, to have to become stronger, to withstand the weeds and what the weeds try and do to strangle, okay? And it's interesting in the story where the owner, which is God, said, no, don't take the weeds out, leave those, I'll deal with those at another time. Because he knew that the challenges and the pressures of life are actually some of the things that helped us to push us to go deeper with God, to discover more of who he is, so that he doesn't just remove all the things all the time, so that we're like, oh, Jesus, yes, you know, and we never grow and mature. But actually, he says, no, leave that. They need to walk through that to trust me and see, so I can prove my nature. And my character, so they begin to know more of who I am. They become stronger in me and stronger as in their faith, and therefore they can see greater things happen. So don't necessarily pray, God, get me out of here, but God, would you lead me through? Reveal more of who you are through this. Show me who you are in your word in the middle of this situation, so there can be a victory, because every victory has a story. And every story that you tell says to somebody else, God is real. He is faithful. He's the healer. He's the restorer. He's the provider, or whatever it is. And people go, wow, I've never known that. It's like, oh, I can help you discover who he is then, because you've discovered who he is in a reality of a walk with him. And not just knowledge from a page in a Bible. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, would you enable us to live this week how you need us to live? Holy Spirit, would you enable us to meditate on the word, chew on the word, feed on the word? Would you kiss us with the breath of who you are this week as we spend time with you? Would you enable us to discover more of who you are? Father, would you enable faith to grow up on the inside of us so that we're strong to walk through situations and then have stories to tell of how amazing and how faithful you are. Father, I just pray for anybody here today that doesn't know you, they have no relationship with you at this moment. Father, I ask you to continue to reveal who you are into their lives this morning. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never met him, you don't know how real he is and what it means to have a relationship with him, I'd love to talk with you afterwards. And there'll be one or two others who would love to chat with you. And if you want to, we can pray together. You might have some questions. You might want to find out more about who he is. I'd love to talk with you afterwards. You might be at a point where you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to respond to him. Well, you can do that straight after the meeting. Again, you can come down the front. A friend, if you've come with them, let them come with you. They can bring you down. Love to chat with you and pray with you if that's something you want to do today. You're at the point where you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender everything, because that's what it means. It means to surrender everything to him. Father, we praise your name. We exalt your name. We glorify your name. And everybody shouted, amen, amen, amen. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.